Amen. All right, well, we're there in Acts chapter number 5. And this morning, I'm preaching a unique sermon. And the title of the sermon is What to Do When YouTube Censors Bible Preaching. What to Do When YouTube Censors Bible Preaching. And for those of you that don't know, on Thursday morning, early Thursday morning of this week, YouTube shut down our main YouTube account and our main YouTube channel. We had about 8,600 subscribers, and we had no strikes or anything like that, just kind of out of nowhere, they shut us down. And let me just give you a few things on that. On Thursday morning at 12:28 a.m., we got two messages from YouTube. So on Wednesday night, when we had the Wednesday night service, it's interesting because we had about 8,600, close to 8,600 subscribers on our YouTube channel. We had 131 people in church on Wednesday night physically here in the building. And then we had an additional 130 people watching on live stream, the church service, you know, from different parts of the country and all over the world. And at 12:28 a.m., we got two messages from YouTube because basically there was a time in our church's life back closer to the Orlando, you know, protests and things like that, where we were getting a strike from YouTube like every other week. It seemed like we're getting a strike and we're having to go back and forth from one channel to another to another. But for the last, I don't know, 6 to 8 months, it's been pretty smooth sailing with us. We've had no strikes, no problems. One of the reasons I decided to go ahead and stream the Red Hot Preaching Conference on our main YouTube account, well, there's a couple of reasons. Reason number one is because our church spends like $15,000 to put on this conference, and, you know, we want to try to get as much exposure for the great preaching as possible. But the other reason was that we had no problems. We had no strikes, no issues. So I figured if we get a strike, we can afford a strike. Even if we get two strikes, even if they take down a video, of course, you know, we never expected they would shut down our channel. And a couple of weeks earlier, we'd heard the news of Alex Jones, and I'm not promoting Alex Jones, you know, but Alex Jones had his YouTube account shut down, and I think other, you know, social media accounts that had been taken down. So on Thursday morning at 12:28 a.m., we got two messages from YouTube. Basically, one said, your video, Conceited Calvinist Blowhards, was flagged for review. Now, this is a video that Brother Stuckey made attacking Calvinists. It was a real short video. I mean, the video had a lot of views. I think it had like 5,000 or 6,000 views, but it was like a 3-minute, 4-minute long video, and it was against Calvinists. There was nothing in there about, you know, homos or, you know, putting anyone to death or whatever. I'd known for a long time that Brother Stuckey was going too hard against the Calvinists, and I probably should have, you know, pulled him back. But anyway, they sent us this video saying your conceited Calvinist blowhards was flagged for review. And then within the same minute, they sent us another email saying, due to repeated or severe violations of our community guidelines, your YouTube account has been suspended. And they basically just took down our account, lost the 8,600 subscribers, lost all of those videos. Now, we didn't lose the videos. We have the videos, but they're not on YouTube now. And, of course, we're going to repost them and re-upload them, but it's going to take months to be able to get all our content back up. And if you look up our account, you know, if you look up our old video, you'll find that this is what it says. If you try to look up a video from our old account, you'll get a blank screen and it'll have a note that says, this account has been terminated due to multiple or severe violations of YouTube's policy prohibiting hate speech. So apparently, you know, it's okay for someone to make a speech promoting pedophilia on YouTube, and that's fine, you know, and it's okay to have, you know, half-naked girls all over these videos on YouTube, but if you try to preach the Word of God and try to have Bible preaching, that's too much. That's too extreme. And they shut our channel down. And, you know, honestly, it hurts us in the sense that we had a lot of subscribers. Obviously, there's a lot of other pages that have many more subscribers, but, you know, when we started this year, when we started 2018, we sat down as a staff and we kind of made some goals for our church and things we wanted to do. We had growth goals physically among the congregation. One thing that we had set as a goal is that we wanted to have 10,000 subscribers on our YouTube page by the end of this year. And we were working hard towards it. That's why all the videos were going up with Brother Stuckey. That's why we were doing all sorts of different things to try to, you know, get all those subscriptions. And I don't know if we were going to hit it. We were at 8,600 subscribers by the, you know, basically August. So we might have hit it, you know, but we're not going to hit it now for sure. But, you know, we put a lot of work into it and it got taken down. So what I want to do this morning is I just want to talk to our church family about, you know, what to do or what are we going to do, what we should do as a response to do, what to do when YouTube censors your preaching. Now, you're there in Acts chapter number 5. Now, I want you to look down at verse number 17 just to get a little bit of the context. Acts chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible says, "Then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison." So here we see that the Sadducees and the Jews have taken the high priest, have taken the apostles, put them in prison. Notice verse 19. "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go stand and speak in all the temple to all to the people all the words of this life.' And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, 'The prison truly found we shut with all safety and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within.'" Because obviously the angel had broken them out. But when the angel broke them out, nothing changed on the outside. The doors were still locked. The guards were still, you know, at their places. But when they opened the doors, they said, "We found no man within." Look at verse 24. "Now when the high priest and the captains of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, 'Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked him." And I want you to notice verse 28. It says, "Saying, 'Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name?'" And I want you to understand that censorship of biblical preaching is nothing new. Even from the days of the book of Acts, even from the early church, they were trying to stop them from spreading the word. And here we see the Sadducees and the high priest that incarcerated these people, and then they, you know, get out and they're still preaching and they're saying, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name?" You're there in Acts 5. Go to Acts chapter 7 real quickly. Acts chapter 7, just turn over just by way of introduction. Acts chapter 7, look at verse number 54. Acts chapter 7 and verse 54. I want you to notice the example of Stephen. Now, when we get to Acts 7:54, Stephen has preached this great, awesome sermon. But I want you to notice the response in Acts 7:54. The Bible says this: "When they," talking about the Jews, "heard these things," notice what it says. It says they were cut to the heart. And by the way, that's what Bible preaching does. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And when somebody takes the word of God and preaches it with authority, it's going to cut people to the heart. Notice, "And they gnashed on him with their teeth." Look at verse 55. "But he," that's Stephen, "being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice." And I want you to notice this. Stephen is preaching the sermon. He's cut them to the heart. He's preaching the word of God. And they are so annoyed. They are so upset that the Bible says they cried out with a loud voice. But don't miss this phrase, because notice what they did. "And stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord." Now, it's interesting what the Bible tells us here, because not only did they cry out with a loud voice, you kind of expect that when a crowd is about to kill you, that they would cry out with a loud voice. And not only did they run upon him with one accord, you kind of expect that when a crowd is about to kill you or beat you up, that they're going to run upon you with one accord. But in the process, the Bible says they stopped with their ears as they were running to him. They were so upset at what he was saying, they did not want to hear one more word. I mean, they physically just closed their ears and they ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And I want you to notice and I want you to understand that censorship of biblical preaching, the world not wanting to hear biblical preaching, is nothing new. Even in the book of Acts, they said, did not we straitly command you that you should not preach in this name? Even in Acts chapter 7, they stopped their ears because they did not want to hear the conviction of biblical preaching, the cutting to the heart from the word of God. Go to 2 Timothy. Now, keep your place there in Acts. We're going to be in Acts for most of the sermon this morning. But go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. If you find all the T-books, they're all clustered together. 1, 2 Thessalonians, 1, 2 Timothy, Titus. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. In 2 Timothy, we have the Apostle Paul preaching or teaching a young preacher about ministry. And in verse 2, we've got the famous verse, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. He says, look, you preach the word, whether it's popular or not, whether people want to hear it or not. He says, you be instant. You be ready. You be consistent. You do what you should do, whether in season or out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And by the way, that's what biblical preaching is. He says, preach the word, and he describes it as reprove, rebuke, and exhort. So when you go to these churches today that have this positive-only message, which, by the way, it's like 99% of churches today that you go to. I mean, pick a church in Sacramento. I don't care if it's an independent Fundamental Baptist church or if it's a liberal rock and roll community church. You're going to walk in, and you're not going to ever hear reprove. You're not going to ever hear rebuke. You're not going to ever hear anything negative, anything bad, anything from the Word of God that might cut your heart. But the Bible tells us that Bible preaching is to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. And by the way, it's in that order. And it's not, every sermon should have all of these aspects. Every sermon should reprove you, every sermon should rebuke you, and every sermon should exhort you. I even try to do it in that order. I try to end every sermon with some sort of positive exhortation, but before we get there, you know what you get? Before you get the pat in the back, you get the kick in the pants. You know, before you get the positive, you get the negative. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Look at verse 3. For the time will come. The Apostle Paul is predicting. He says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And that day is today. The world does not want to hear what the Word of God has to say. They'll let a woman doing a TED Talk or whatever on YouTube talk about how pedophilia is normal and how we have to, treat these people like normal human beings. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, promoting child molestation. And that's okay. But when you preach the Word of God, when you preach the Bible, they will not endure sound doctrine. Notice, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Look at verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And shall be turned unto fables. Now, go with me to the book of Matthew just real quickly. Keep your place there in Acts, but go to Matthew chapter number 5. We should understand and we should not be surprised that censorship of biblical preaching is not new. It's been happening since the book of Acts. Look, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So when we open up the Word of God and we shed the light of the Word of God, men are going to love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil, and they're going to censor. They're not going to want to hear it. They're going to try to shut it down. They're going to try to stop it. Now you say, well, Pastor Jimenez, what do we do? What do we do? What does our church do? How should we respond to this? Because look, we live in a unique, you are sitting in a very unique church this morning. I don't know if you know that. And not just because of the Bible preaching or because of the great, you know, soul winning and memory, but I'm just saying, I think we can say with every confidence, there is not a church in this country that has received more persecution than Verity Baptist Church. I mean, show me the church that's had bigger protests. Show me the church that has their YouTube, you know, shut down. Show me the church that has received the persecution that we have received here. And I'm not complaining about it. And I realize that there are other people in other countries that have much higher persecution than what we've endured. But we have been persecuted, you know, for our beliefs, for our sin, in a country where you're supposed to, where one of our main values is freedom of speech. It seems like everybody just wants us to shut our mouths. You know, everybody can say whatever they want as long as it's not the Word of God. You say, Pastor Jimenez, how do we respond? Well, number one this morning, if you'd like to write these statements down, I'd encourage you to write them down. Number one, we will rejoice in persecution. We will rejoice in persecution. Are you there in Matthew chapter 5? Look at verse number 10. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10 says this, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you know, people always try to minimize what our church has gone through. Not always, but there are certain individuals out there who want to attack our church. And they'll act like, oh, you guys just had these protesters. Or YouTube just shut down. You haven't really been persecuted. You know, it's not like you've been thrown in prison. Or it's not like you've had. And look, I realize that we have not, you know, been physically assaulted or thrown in prison. I get that. And I'm not, you know, trying to put what we've gone through in the same level as what Christians in the past have gone through or Christians in other countries are going through right now. But it's always funny to me, the people that are always trying to minimize what our church has gone through have gone through no persecution at all. You know, it's like, why don't you take a stand? Why don't you get up and say something? Why don't you, you know, why don't you try having your sermon go viral and have people literally send you, you know, their, you know, what they put in, what they do in a toilet in the mail to your house and see how you like it. You know, and I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, you say, well, our church has gone through a little bit of persecution. We felt a little bit of persecution. You say, well, how do we respond to that? Well, the way that we respond is that we choose to rejoice in persecution. Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 11. Blessed are ye. And you know, if you think we haven't been persecuted, just ask yourself, do we meet the criteria of what Jesus calls persecution? Because this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. If you have a red letter edition Bible, the words will be in red. Notice what he said. He said, blessed are ye. He was talking to Verity Baptist Church. Now, he wasn't only talking to Verity Baptist Church. He's talking to every believer that goes through this. But we're part of it. Matthew 5:11, Jesus was speaking to us. He said, hey, Verity Baptist Church, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. I mean, have we had that? Have men reviled us? Have men, you know, spoken ill of us and spoken bad of us, you know, and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Has that happened? Because I think it has. For my sake, look at verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 John 3:13, the Bible says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Say, Pastor Jimenez, how should we respond to YouTube shutting down our main account? Well, you know what? We should rejoice in persecution. We should be glad that there's one more thing we can add to the resume of persecution for our church. We can, you know, we can talk about the protests, and we can talk about the not renewing our lease, and we can talk about YouTube shutting us down. And we should rejoice. You say, why? Because it shows that we're doing something right. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Look, if everybody loved us, if everybody liked us, if everybody loved the messages and thought everything was great, if I was Joel Osteen this morning, I would know that I was doing something wrong. But when the world hates you, you know you're standing on the right side. I mean, look, they crucified our Savior. You realize that's how his ministry ended? It ended on a cross because they did not like what he had to say. So what do we do? You say, what do we do? How do we respond? What do you do when YouTube censors Bible preaching, when it shuts down your accounts at your church? Well, number one, we will rejoice in persecution. But number two, we will rebuild our platform. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. You know that the Lord, by his grace, has given us a platform of influence. The Lord, by His grace, has allowed us. I don't know if you know this. I mean, you got a taste of it last week during the Red Hot Preaching Conference. But there are literally thousands of people across this country and across the world that are influenced by Verity Baptist Church. And not just Verity Baptist Church, churches like ours. But people that listen, people that donate, people that are learning and growing, you know, and the Lord has allowed us to have a little bit of influence in this world, and He's given us a platform of influence. And yes, that platform has been hindered this week. I'm not going to lie to you. Now, we have a backup channel, and our backup channel has become our main channel. And our backup channel had about 2,000 subscribers, which was obviously like a quarter of what, you know, our main channel had, which was 8,600 subscribers. And we're gonna rebuild that platform. We're gonna, you know, make that main that backup channel our main channel. I think we've already in the last 3 days have added like 300 subscribers to it, and we're gonna do what we can. But I want you to notice Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. Jesus said this, he says, "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." Excuse me. Notice verse 2. "Be watchful." And notice what he says. He says, "And strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." He says, "For I have not found thy works before God." And of course, he's speaking to a church here that's dying. But you know, and our church isn't dying. Our church is thriving. Praise the Lord for it. I think we have 163 people in church this morning, or you know, more than that. I don't know. I can't look at my phone right now. Probably a few more than that. But, you know, our church is doing great. But as far as our YouTube ministry is concerned, you know, you say, "Pastor Mendez, what are we going to do?" We're going to strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. We're just going to rebuild. We're going to rebuild our platform. You say, why? For a couple of reasons. But number one, go back to Acts, and go to Acts chapter 8 just real quickly. Say, "Pastor Mendez, why would you want to rebuild it? You know, why would you want to?" And we're going to talk about both of these things this morning, but our church has basically two main avenues of outreach, and they're not equal. One is definitely more important than the other one. One is our online presence and the YouTube, the Facebook, the media, live streaming and things that we do of that nature. The other one is our soul-winning component here at our church. And, you know, we're not going to give up on one, though. We're just going to strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Now, here's what I want you to understand. And here we talked about rejoicing in persecution. You know, censorship and persecution should motivate us. Whenever the world attacks us as Christians, we should not allow that to discourage us. We should not allow that to upset us. We should not allow that to bother us. Now, look, am I bothered by what happened? Absolutely. And here's why. It's not because of the videos. We can re-upload the videos. I mean, it's going to take a lot of work, and Brother Oliver is going to be very busy over the next several weeks, you know, re-uploading videos and getting things ready, you know. But here's what bothers me, and where it hurts us a little bit, is that a lot of those subscribers we're not getting back, you know, just because they don't know where to find us. They're not going to know what to do, and we'll do our best to let people know. But also, the way that the algorithms work for these type of accounts. For example, I'll give you an example. The documentary Psychopath Reprobates. Last time I checked it, it had 46,000 views. Now, because of that, whenever anyone typed in anything on YouTube or Google about psychopaths, you know, if you typed in the word psychopath into YouTube, Psychopath Reprobates is going to be like the third, you know, video that came up. Now, we're going to re-upload Psychopath Reprobates, but it's going to go from 46,000 views to 0 views. And obviously, it's going to come down, you know, on that search engine. And really, that's why they realize we're going to upload our videos again. They're just trying to limit the amount of impact and influence that we can have. And you say, does that bother you? Of course it bothers me. Because when we re-upload Psychopath Reprobates, those 46,000 people aren't going to go back and watch it, right? Now, you are going to go back and watch it, right? No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, but they're not going to go back and watch it. You say, does that discourage you? Does that, you know, make you sad? And here's what you understand. Whenever persecution comes, we should not allow it. Whenever something is hindering us or hurting us or trying to stop us, we should not allow that to demotivate us. We should allow it to motivate us. So you're there in Acts chapter 8, look at verse 1. This is how Christians have always responded to persecution. Acts 8:1, the Bible says this, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution." Now this is right after what we read about in Acts 7, where Stephen had been stoned. And right after that, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all, notice what it says, they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Notice verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I want you to notice that the way that Christians have always responded, the way that God's people have always responded to persecution, is that it does not hinder them, it does not stop them, it does not discourage them. If anything, it encourages them to do more. It encourages them to accomplish more. Go to Exodus chapter number 1. Exodus chapter number 1. Exodus chapter 1, look at verse 9. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 9. Keep your place in Acts. We're going to come back to it, but go to Exodus, second book in the Bible. Should be fairly easy to find. Exodus chapter 1. Notice the persecution of the children of Israel while in the land of Egypt. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 9. The Bible says this, "And he," talking about Pharaoh, "said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel," this is God's people, "are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them." Notice, lest they multiply. Now, what Pharaoh was trying to do was he was trying to keep the children of Israel from multiplying. Notice what it says. "And it came to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land." Verse 11. "Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramesses." Now, I want you to notice, why did they set over them taskmasters to afflict them? Lest they multiply, right? They were trying to keep them from growing. They were trying to keep them from getting any bigger. But what was the result of the persecution? Verse 12. "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel." See, the Bible says that the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. The more they afflicted them, the more they grew. And this is the proper response to persecution. So you know what? When YouTube, you know, decides that they're going to just delete, you know, hundreds or thousands of our videos that had thousands of views, when YouTube decides that they're going to delete, you know, 8,600 subscribers of people that subscribe to our church and said, "We like this preaching. We like the things that are being put out by these people. We want to support them. We want to hear about it." When they just decide with a, you know, push of a button to get rid of that, you say, "Pastor Jimenez, does that make you sad?" No, you know what? Don't get sad. Just get mad. You say, "Pastor Jimenez, are you mad?" Yeah, I'm mad. You say, "Do you think you should be mad? I mean, is it spiritual to be angry?" You know, let me read for you Mark 3:5. This is about Jesus. "And when he had looked round about them with anger." People say, "Oh, it's a sin to be angry." Well, then Jesus must have sinned, because he looked round about the Pharisees and he looked at them with anger. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." God says, if you're going to be angry, go ahead and be angry, but just sin not. You know, and obviously it's real easy for us to sin while we're angry, but there is a such thing as righteous indignation. There is a such thing as being angry and sitting not, looking around about them with anger. And you know what? Today, when I think of YouTube and Facebook and all those people, I do look at them with anger. I do look at them mad. You say, "Pastor Mendes, should we be discouraged? Should we be upset?" No, we should just get mad. We should just get angry. We should just get motivated. You say, "Is that spiritual?" Listen to me. You are looking at a preacher this morning that is not only spirit-filled, he's mad as hell. Yeah, I'm mad. Yeah, I'm angry. You say, "What are you going to do about it?" We're going to rebuild. We're going to rebuild our platform. YouTube's going to rue the day they canceled Verity Baptist Church's account. You say, why? Because like the apostles, when they were commanded to not preach in this name, remember, in fact, if go back there, Acts 5:28, if you kept your place there, remember in Acts 5:28, the Bible says, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And the response was this, and behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. You say, Pastor, what are we going to do? You know what we're going to do? We're going to fill YouTube with our doctrine. Amen. And intend to bring their sins upon their heads. We're going to do more and accomplish more. We're going to put more videos up. We're going to get harder preaching. We're going to get more content. There, look, by the time my goal is that by the time I die or retire or whatever, there's going to be so much content of independent, fundamental Baptist preachers on YouTube, people are going to think we own YouTube. People are going to think Verity Baptist Church, they're going to think Pastor Jimenez is the CEO of that company, but because we're just going to fill it with our doctrine, we're going to fill it, and we're going to publish it and promote it. You say, does this discourage you? It just encourages me to do more. It makes me realize that we're on the right track. They're scared to death. They feel that even our small channel had enough influence that they were like, we gotta just get rid of these people. We gotta just be done with these people. You say, what are we gonna do? We're gonna fill YouTube with our doctrine. We're gonna fill the internet with our doctrine. Go to Acts 10, look at verse 37. Acts chapter 10 and verse 37. We're gonna rebuild. We'll rebuild our platform. And say, what if they shut us down again? Then we'll just do it again. And what if they shut us down again? Then we'll just do it again. Look, they're going to have to, like, you know, come and kill us before we stop. Acts 10:37 says this, that word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. I want you to notice that the early church was publishing, promoting, preaching in the word of God throughout all Judea. Look at Acts 13 and verse 49. Acts 13 and verse 49 says this, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. See, the early church, you say, people mock and say, oh, you guys are just into your little internet thing and you're, you know, you should focus on building a church. It's funny, people say that to us and then you talk to them and like our physical church is bigger than their church. And you're like, you know, focus on building a church. You know what we're doing? We're just going to focus on both. We're going to do the work of 10 men. We're going to do the work of 10 churches. People say, you know, they have this idea like, you can either be a YouTube ministry or you can be a real ministry. We'll just be both. We had 131 people physically here on Wednesday night and had 130 people watching on live stream. We'll just build both. You say, why? Because the goal is to publish the Word of God, is to promote the Word of God, is to get exposure for the Word of God. So what are we going to do? We're just going to rebuild. We're going to flood the internet with our doctrine. Listen to me. We're going to take the internet back from the pedophiles. We're going to take the internet back from the pornographers. We're going to take the internet back. We're going to take YouTube back from the flat earthers and the dispensationalists. And by the time it's said and done, they're going to say, man, did not we straightly command you to not preach on YouTube? And you filled it with your doctrine. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to get discouraged. We're just going to let it motivate us to do more. We're going to flood YouTube with our content. And by the way, not only are we going to flood YouTube with our content, but this whole fiasco, you know, opened my eyes to the fact that we're just going to go ahead and wage war on every other platform and venue that's like YouTube. We're just going to put our content everywhere. You know, all these other places are going to be mad at YouTube. Man, you got these guys all riled up. Now we got all their videos on our platforms too. You know, we're going to rebuild. And look, you say, how are we going to do that? Let me give you just a couple of practical steps. Number one, honestly, and I'm not joking, if you're sitting here this morning and you've not subscribed to our YouTube channel, make sure you do that. You know, go to YouTube, Verity Baptist Church, find the channel, subscribe to it. Find the one called Verity Baptist, which is our new backup channel. I think it has like 900 subscribers. Subscribe to that. Find the one that's called Red Hot Preaching Conference. Subscribe to that. And you know, help us by actually subscribing to these channels. And if you're listening to the sermon online and you've not subscribed, subscribe. But you know what? I'm also, something we're going to start doing over the next several weeks and months, or probably take us months to be able to do it. But you know what I'm looking for? I'm going to start looking for volunteers within our church and just people outside on the internet who are willing to do this. But we're going to start creating accounts in all of these platforms. You know, I didn't really even know of all the other platforms that are out there. After this happened, people have been sending emails and text messages and comments, and they've been saying, you guys should try this and that. I've got a whole list of places. I never even heard of these places. You know, I never heard of most of them. You know, but there's one called Real Video. There's one called VK. There's one called Sermon Audio. There's one called Mixcloud.com. One called Sermon Index. One called Livestream.com. One called BitChute. One called DTube. One called DLive. I've never heard of these things. I don't know what they're about. But you know what? If we can put our preaching on there, we're going to do it. Amen. And you know, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for volunteers within our church and without who will say, you know what? I'll take Real Video. I'll just make it my ministry. Any sermon that goes out of Verity Baptist Church, I'm gonna make a Verity Baptist Church account on Real Video. And any sermon you guys put out, it's gonna be my job to download it and put it on that platform. And I'm looking for a volunteer to say, I'll take Sermon Audio. And someone else that'll say, I'll take BitChute. And someone else that'll say, I'll take DTube or whatever. And I'll make a Verity Baptist Church channel. And you know what's interesting is that Verity Baptist, you know, YouTube shut down our account, and there was a lady, her name was Cheryl Byrne, and I hope she doesn't mind me using her name. I didn't ask her, but you know, I just want to say a public thank you to Cheryl Byrne. God bless this lady, you know, because it was really funny. It seemed like within minutes of this lady had been downloading all of the sermons, all of the videos from our channel for like years. And within minutes of Verity Baptist of YouTube shutting down Verity Baptist Church, there was a new channel that we had nothing to do with called Verity Baptist Church Mirrored, and she's just uploading 50 videos a day. Amen. Within a month, all of our videos will be back up. You know, and it's like YouTube is like, did we not straightly command you? And you have filled YouTube with your job. And here's the funny thing. Just type in Verity Baptist Church on YouTube. Our videos are everywhere. I mean, they took the Christian response to the Orlando shooting from our account, but you can find it on YouTube. You can find mirrored ones and downloaded ones and bootlegged ones or whatever. It's all up. You say, and that's what we want. Not only are we going to look for volunteers that'll take one of these accounts and say, hey, I'll just make it my ministry, livestream.com or whatever, you know, mixcloud.com. I'm going to create a channel, Verity Baptist Church. Anything you guys put out, I'm going to put it on there. Why? Because we're going to saturate the internet with our doctrine. Amen. We're going to fill it with our teaching. And by the way, you know, people will say things like, oh, well, why don't you guys focus on just preaching the gospel? Why do you have to, you know, preach a sermon on human trafficking? Or why do you have to do a sermon about psychopaths? Look, this is what you need to understand. Anytime you preach any Bible content, you are, in essence, preaching the gospel. And you say, why? How is that? Here's why. Talk to people. I mean, talk to people in our church. Go to other places or talk to people, you know, at the Red Hot Preaching Conference next year. You know, and ask people, how did you get saved? You know what I hear all the time? Oh, I got saved watching New World Order Bible versions. I got saved watching After the Tribulation. I got saved watching this video or that video. I got saved. And here's the funny thing is, New World Order Bible versions doesn't have the gospel in it. After the Tribulation doesn't have the gospel in it. You know, here's what they mean. They watch New World Order Bible versions, and then they watch the 15-minute gospel presentation afterwards and got saved. They watch After the Tribulation, and then they watch the 15-minute gospel presentation afterwards and got saved. You know, and so anytime that we put content out there that's biblical, that's spiritual, even if it's not presenting the gospel, we're doing more by reaching people by doing that than these other churches are doing with their lame altar calls. I mean, have you ever thought about the fact you've got the same 50 people in a building, and every week after week after week, you're trying to get the same 50 people that are, you know, to get walk down the aisle and get saved? I want to shake some of these pastors and say, like, look, it would be easier if you just went to every one of those 50 people and asked them, do you know for sure if you're that today? Are you on your way to heaven? And once they're all saved, quit with the altar calls. And they mock us, and they're like, you guys don't even do altar calls. You preach your little psychopath reprobate. Psychopath reprobates will reach more people than your altar calls ever thought of doing. Because people will watch it, and they'll like it, and they'll watch another video, and they'll like it, and they'll watch another video, and they'll like it. And you know what? Eventually, they'll hear, you know, logic proves eternal security and get saved. Or eventually, they'll hear a gospel presentation and get saved. Eventually, they'll hear the gospel and get saved. So you say, Pastor Benz, what are you going to do? We're going to, number one, rejoice in our persecution. We're going to rejoice that we're doing something right. The fact that the world hates us, the fact that the world's trying to stop us, the fact that the world has something, look, the world has something against Verity Baptist Church. I'm not even sure why. I mean, 800 protesters? I mean, can't, you know, not renewing our lease and us spending 6 months, talk to Brother Oliver and Brother Stucky, us spending 6 months, 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, from building to building to building. I mean, I think we looked at every, I think I know every single building in Sacramento. Just to have them say no, no, no. Even this building said no. We came back and said, what if we offer you an extra $1,000? They're like, okay. you know, whatever. And we're paying a lot more for this building than we probably should be paying. But, you know, whatever, you know, money is money. It's gonna burn up one day. You know, we don't make decisions based on money. We make decisions based on the Word of God. And, you know, I'm thankful for this building because the Lord has allowed us to have this building and continue to hold church services and continue to do what we're doing and accomplishing, you know, and reaching people with the gospel. You say, what are we going to do? We're going to rejoice in persecution, and we're going to rebuild our platform. We're going to rebuild our influence. You know, I had a goal of 10,000 subscribers. Forget that goal. Our goal is 20,000. Our goal is to get our videos on every one of these. You know, people are saying like, well, what about, you know, why don't you use BitChute instead of YouTube? Here's what I think. Let's do both. Amen. Why don't you do VK instead of YouTube? Let's do both. Why don't you do Real Audio instead of YouTube? Let's do it all. Let's just put all the hooks in the water. Let's see what can be accomplished in our lifetime here at Verity Baptist Church. You say, what are we going to do, Pastor Jimenez? We're going to rejoice in our persecution. And we're going to, number two, rebuild our platform. But number three, go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I said, number one, we will rejoice in our persecution. Number two, we will rebuild our platform. But number three, we're going to continue to do what we've always been doing from the beginning of this church. We will reach people with the gospel. You say, Pastor Jimenez, why does it matter? Why does it matter? You know, now we had 8,600 subscribers. Now we have 2,200 subscribers. Why does it matter? Why rebuild it? Why do we care? You know why we care is because we're reaching people. That's what it's about. We're not trying to be some sort of YouTube celebrity. Let me explain something to you. There are no benefits to being a YouTube celebrity when you preach the way we do. All right? That's not the right word. Celebrity implies money and people liking you. When you preach like we do, there's no money and random people yell at you, you know, out and about. Just walk into restaurants, people are yelling at you. Before I picked up my wife from the airport, I was with the kids and we were getting a hamburger or something, and I heard somebody saying something, and I thought they were talking about my kids, you know, and I thought they were talking about like me, but you know, I'm not sure if they were or they weren't. I didn't hear enough, but it seemed like they were saying something about me and the kids or, you know, whatever. And I was just like, man, just got to get ready. If that guy says something, I'm going to throw this hamburger in his face. You know, I'm like, where's Oliver when I need him? I need this on live stream. This will get us more views. No, you know, it's like, I'm just going to sharply rebuke this guy or whatever, you know. Being a YouTube celebrity, it's not all it's cracked out to be. When you don't get the limousine and the fancy house, and nobody's really asking for your autograph, they're just randomly yelling at you, it's not the greatest thing. But I'm sure it'll be great in heaven. You say, what do? We will reach people with the gospel. You're there in Mark chapter 1. I want you to notice that Jesus had these huge crowds. He preached to thousands of people. He had these huge, you know, crowds that he was impacting. But I want you to notice that Jesus always kept, he had two sides to his ministry. He had like the Sermon on the Mount, where he's preaching. You know, he had to thousands of people, or like the where he you know, the fish and the bread, where he's performing a miracle and feeding 5,000 and feeding 4,000. He had that side of his ministry where he was just, you know, impacting big crowds and reaching big crowds and getting a lot of people, you know, to just hear the preaching. But he also had a personal aspect to his ministry. We see it a little bit in Mark chapter 1. Look at verse 40. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 says this, "And there came a leper to him," it's talking about Jesus, "beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man." Now people often are confused by, why did Jesus say that? "See thou say nothing to any man." You know, the reason that Jesus said that is because Jesus was a humble man. Jesus would not have done well on Facebook. You always see these Christians on Facebook, and it's like they can't do anything spiritual without live streaming it. And look, I'm all for, live stream the church services. We're teaching people the word of God, or we're going to teach people doctrine. But I don't need you live stream, live stream me if I'm going to throw a hot dog in the face of some reprobate. But I don't need you to live stream me when I'm going to, help somebody out with their smut bill. You see what I'm saying? I don't need you to live stream me when I'm just going to go give the gospel to someone. You know, and I'm not saying it's wrong to those things, but you see these Christians who are like, they can't do anything. It's like, I'm just here this morning reading my Bible. I'm just here this morning praying. It's like they can't do anything spiritual without posting a picture on Facebook, without posting it on YouTube, they want everybody to know, look, I'm spiritual, look at me. I'm reading my proverb of the day. Aren't I just this giant of the faith? But see, Jesus wasn't like that. He did this kind thing for this person, but he didn't want all the attention. He said, say nothing to any man. And by the way, we have spiritual people in our church that are constantly doing anonymous kind things for people and generous things for people. And that's how Jesus was. He says, look, I did this for you, but you don't have to go tell everybody. He says, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But notice verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. So Jesus said, hey, I'm going to do this nice thing to you, but you don't have to tell anybody. And he went out and began to publish it, to promote it, to proclaim it much, and to blaze abroad the matter. Go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. This is a common theme we see in the ministry of Christ. Mark chapter 5. And we could look at a lot of examples. I'm just going to show you some from Mark. Mark chapter 5, look at verse 18. Mark 5:18 says this, "And when he," that's talking about Jesus, "was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." So remember, this is after Jesus takes the demons out and casts them into the pigs. Remember that story? Look at verse 19. Now this man who was possessed of the devil, he wants to go with Jesus. Verse 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not." The word suffer there means allow. He did not allow him, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee." And by the way, that is what God commands us to do. You say, what should I do after God does something great for me? Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Go to Mark chapter 7, look at verse 32. Mark chapter 7, verse 32. Mark 7 and verse 32 says this, "And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hands upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his finger into his ear, and he spit and touched his tongue, and he looked up to heaven, and sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the strings of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain, and he charged them that they should, notice, tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And you say, Pastor Jimenez, why are you showing us this? Here's what I want you to understand. Jesus' impact, the ministry of his impact, with no YouTube, with no Facebook, with no social media, he impacted people in such a way that obviously we're still talking about it today. And how did he do it? He did it by focusing on crowds and preaching to crowds, but he also did it by just focusing on individuals. Amen. Remember the woman at the well? He just spoke to her. He just approached her. He just gave her the gospel. What does the Bible say that the woman at the well did? She went back home, and she brought a bunch of people with her. And he spoke to them. You say, Pastor Jimenez, what are we going to do? We're not only going to rejoice in persecution. We're not only going to rebuild our social media platform, but we're going to continue to reach people with the gospel. Look, what YouTube can try to stop us from putting videos on the internet, but you know what they can't stop is the 70 to 80 soul winners that go out from this place every week preaching the gospel in this community. And what to God, you say, are we going to ramp up the subscribers? Look, we're going to ramp up the subscribers, and we're going to ramp up the soul winners. We're going to get the subscriptions up to 10,000, and we're going to get the soul winners up to 100. How about that? And then we'll double it. And we're going to saturate this city with the gospel. Look, when you go out soul winning, take your invitation. Take some of these DVDs with you. Take Psychopath Reprobates with you. It's not weird. People look, all week I've been passing out cards. People have been talking. I don't know why people have been extra friendly to me this week. They've just been talking. I guess it's because I have the 5 kids with me, you know. Everywhere I go, I've got 5 kids with me, so everybody's more nice to me. I guess I should take kids with me more often. But people are like, oh, what are you up to? You look like you got your hands full. And I'm like, Psychopath Reprobates, you should watch it. And they're like, great, you know, now it's not on YouTube anymore, so I got to go back and give those people DVDs, I guess. But, you know, hey, just let's get our content out there. Let's get the Bible out there, biblical preaching out there, the Word of God out there. And look, let's saturate the city. Let's knock every door in Sacramento. Let's knock every door in West Sacramento and Rio Linda and North Highlands and whatever. Let's do all of it. But while we're doing that, why don't our 70 to 80 soul winners decide they're going to focus on one person? See, what we can learn. See, Jesus healed these people. He helped these people. And look, we don't heal people today. We're not oneness Pentecostals, all right? But you know what I believe? Here's what I believe. I believe that if you took the time and you say, I can't focus on everyone, but I can focus on someone. And I've got this lady, or I've got this man, I've got this family, and they're struggling, and I can be a blessing to them. Look, I'm not saying you should pay their bills. In fact, I'd be careful about paying people's bills. There's a time and a place to pay people's bills and help them with that, and we help people with that. We buy groceries. Maybe, you know, you buy them groceries. Maybe you just try to encourage them and help them. Maybe you just be with them. Maybe you just, you know, whatever, I don't know what it is, whatever the Lord might lay in your heart, but here's what I know. Here's what I know. The best advertising is still word of mouth. And if you would take the time to get not only get somebody saved, but to get to learn their name and to pray for them and to be in contact with them and to say, you know, when I was out there, you talked to me about this situation. I just want you to know I'm praying for you and I'm here for you and try to help them. All I'm saying is this. If we can help people and make an impact in their lives, not only will they come, but they'll tell somebody. You know what they'll say? They'll say, I know Pastor Jimenez, the way he's portrayed on the internet, but you know, that's the nicest church I've ever been to. Those people are so loving. They don't even know me. They've had me over for dinner. They don't even know me. They've spent time. I'm getting people calling me, telling me, here's all I'm telling you. Here's all I'm telling you. You say, Pastor Jimenez, they shut down YouTube. Yeah, okay, but you know what they didn't shut down? Personal interaction with actual people. And I just believe if we could get our 70 to 80 soul winners, do you realize that we have 70 to 80 individuals out every week? Some of them, many of them, multiple times a week. And I'm not rebuking you. I appreciate you taking the time to do that and to knock doors. But if we could just motivate some of you to take some interest in an actual individual and say, you know what, I'm going to pray for this one. I'm going to remember this one. I'm going to help this one. I'm going to call this one. I'm going to visit this one. I got this one saved, but I'm going to go back next week and bring them a gift, a DVD or a Bible or whatever it might be. I'm just going to try to be a blessing to this one. I can't do them all, but I can do some. I just think that our church would have such an impact in this community. I could preach whatever hard sermon, and people would still walk out saying, that's the most loving church I've ever been to. See, Jesus took the time to get to know people and invest into their lives and to love them. And he said, you don't got to tell anybody. You might buy somebody groceries and say, don't tell anybody. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to go tell their friends. Man, that church actually cares. That church is actually there for you. They actually need you. You say, Pastor Jimenez, what do we do? What do we do? When YouTube censors the preaching of our church, what do we do? Well, we rejoice in persecution. Go back to Acts chapter 5, where we started. You say, what do you do? We rejoice in persecution. We rebuild our platform, our social media platform. I have every plans of rebuilding it. We're going to rebuild it and make it bigger and better and greater. And we continue to reach people with the gospel. We continue to love people with the gospel. We continue to focus on individuals with the gospel. Let me end with this. Acts 5, verse 38. Remember the story? Did we not straightly command you that you should not preach in this name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intent to bring this man's blood upon us. Later on, they're having a meeting about these individuals. They're having a meeting about these people. And in verse 38, you have Gamaliel, who stands up and he says this. And I realize that Gamaliel is not a saved individual. He's one of the Pharisees. But, you know, sometimes even unsaved people say some smart things. Even a broken clock is right twice a day, right? Notice what he says in verse 38. And now I say unto you, because they were trying to say, what are we going to do with these people? What are we going to do? And he says in verse 38, now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if the counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. You know, what I say to you today is this. They can't stop us. They can hinder us. They can fight us. They can shut down whatever accounts. They can shut down our online giving. Remember when they kept shutting down our online giving over and over, shutting down our online giving? They can shut down the online giving. They can shut down our social media. They can delete our Facebook. They can delete our YouTube. They can do whatever they want. But if this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Look, if God be for us, who can be against us? So don't get discouraged. Don't get upset. Get mad, but let it motivate you to do more, to accomplish more. And if they say, you say, Pastor Jimenez, what if they just completely take us all off the internet? They never allow any of us on the internet. Then we'll just reach people face to face with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll focus on people. And we'll love people. And we'll love people by giving them what they need best, which is red hot preaching. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I do pray that you would allow this event in our church's life to motivate.